Preview.
Before I get on to recommending a couple of books that I think you might enjoy, the programme for Open Book 2017 went live earlier this week, and Open Book takes place in the first part of September. The director of the Open Book Festival, Mervyn Sloman of the Book Lounge, joins us now. Hello, Mervyn.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. It's I think, the longest lineup of authors that you've had in the years you've been doing Open Book.
It is. It is the biggest program. It is the fullest program. And we're very excited about the program, obviously.
And you did a Thunder Fund campaign. I think you raised a fair amount of money with that. Does that make it easier to bring more authors? Because it can be expensive to fly them here.
It's extremely expensive, and the Thunder Fund campaign made a huge difference. Some of the authors, some of the international authors come via sort of various partners, including some of the embassies who bring out authors from particular countries. And then some of them, obviously, we have to pay for their flights and accommodation and all that kind of stuff ourselves. So it is with big thanks to all of those who did contribute to the campaign this year, which has enabled us to put on a bigger festival.
What is the breakdown between local and international authors?
I don't have the exact figures. We've got in the region about 25 international writers this year, and local participants sort of well over 100.
Wow.
So that's a rough idea.
The biggest name is Paul Beattie, whose book, The Sellout, an absolutely wonderful book. I reviewed it earlier this year, and I just couldn't stop enthusing about the dangerous satire that he pulls off so well, and that won the Pulitzer Prize last year. The Man Booker Prize. Mm. So he's the biggest name, but there are a lot of other international authors that might not have won a prize like the Man Booker, but they're very highly regarded in their own literary places.
Absolutely. As you rightly say, I mean, and to get BT was something that we were absolutely thrilled about, and a lot of people are very excited about that. Difficult to isolate individual authors, but let me just mention a couple which come to mind. The young Canadian writer called Saatchi Kuhl, who writes, she's a journalist, she writes and edits for BuzzFeed, and she's done a magical collection of essays called One Day We'll All Be Dead and None of This Will Matter. And I think she's going to be a really, really interesting presence at the festival. Chibunda Onuzo and Ayobami Adebayo, two wonderful Nigerian women writers who've both published fantastic novels this year. Nathan Hill, another American writer, his book The Mix was on just about every best book of the year last year, and I picked it up in about October, November, and it has stayed with me, one of my favorite novels of a long, long time. Ken Liu is a very, very interesting Chinese-American science fiction and fantasy writer who's done a wonderful collection of essays called The Paper Menagerie, which has won all sorts of different awards, and I think he's also going to be a very, very interesting and different presence at the festival this year.
Yeah. When one looks at the program, as I was doing earlier today, a lot of the writers make multiple appearances as part of different groups about different subjects. And I'm always intrigued by how the organizers of a festival decide on, how many panel discussions are you going to have? A couple of hundred, maybe. And each one is different, even though some might have two or three of the same group of four writers in them. And that must take an immense amount of imagination and thought to come up with all of those panel themes.
We do put a lot of time and effort into that. We start working on the program sort of beginning of May, that involves the festival coordinator Frankie Murray and myself sitting down, and usually after the first sort of 3-5 hour sessions, we've probably got two events sort of nailed down. It goes very, very slowly at the beginning. There's a lot of thought that does go into it. We try and as much as possible to avoid any kind of repetition. There are very, very few writers on the program who appear on any events with the same writers, you know, again, that kind of thing. And we try and make each event as interesting as possible. And obviously a huge part of that is down to the people who chair those events. We are always extremely grateful to them for the work that they put in into making those conversations as interesting as possible. Because that is the essence of the festival. People come along and they spend, if they go to one event, they spend an hour there, and they need to come out feeling that was a really interesting, stimulating, in some cases entertaining hour that they've given up of their lives. And that is something that we take very, very seriously.
Mervyn Sloman, director of the Open Book Festival, thank you very much indeed. And the program is live at the moment. Openbookfestival.co.za is the website. All right, I don't have much time, so just a couple of quick pen. It's a phrase I'm looking for that I can't find. Reviews. Scott Turow is, I think, by far the best of the courtroom thriller writers. English, American, French, German, internationally. And his latest book is called Testimony. And it's a slight departure from the norm in that it's not a thriller which is set in an American courtroom, but it is a thriller which is set within the confines of the ICC. And the central character is a very successful criminal defense lawyer from America who's decided in his mid-50s that he doesn't want to do this anymore. His marriage is broken up. It's nothing terribly dramatic. It's just that he and his wife spent too long living together and they need to live apart. And he decides to take up a posting to the International Criminal Court in The Hague. And he gets involved with a trial which goes back to the worst of the Bosnian slaughter. And was there or was there not a slaughter of 400 Roma gypsies? Because there is testimony that there was. And if there was it the Americans? Was it Bosnian Serb paramilitaries, who did it? And he gets involved in this. And one of the things that Turow does so well is nuance his books. There's very little black and white. There are lots of different shades of grey. And he tells a wonderful story. And he constantly feeds you information which you need in order to follow the narrative. But he does it in such a way that you never feel that you are being lectured to. You assimilate the facts about that period of history in such a way that you're able to follow the narrative with great ease. He's a very, very good writer. And Testimony, I think, even though it is a legal thriller, it goes way beyond that. It's not a genre captured book. Testimony by Scott Turow. And the latest from Rachel Joyce, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry, was her first book, which brought a great deal of deserved public acclaim. And this is her fourth now, and it's called The Music Shop. And it's set in 1988. The central character is Frank. He's a record shop owner, and he has this ability for music therapy. He can find a piece of music. A customer comes in and it's clear that the customer is suffering from an emotional or a psychological malady, and Frank is able to find the perfect piece that makes you feel happier about the world. Frank had helped them through illness, grief, loss of confidence and jobs, as well as the more daily things like football results and the weather. Not that he knew all about those things, but really it was a matter of listening, and he had endless patience. And Frank's shop is on Unity Street, and his fellow shopkeepers along Unity Street are typical Rachel Joyce. They're troubled, they're disenfranchised individuals. And Unity Street is under threat. There's a local development company that wants to buy and then break down all the buildings to make way for housing. And Frank is battling with record companies. Remember, this is 1988. They're pressurizing him to stock CDs instead of his beloved vinyl. And into Unity Street walks Ilse Brauchmann. She's a mysterious German woman who faints outside Frank's shop. And then she becomes involved with Unity Street residents, and she has a secret as well, and her secret story is revealed. It is a wonderfully sympathetic and compassionate novel, and I think if you've enjoyed any of Rachel Joyce's previous books, you will certainly absolutely love The Music Shop, which is her latest. And then very, very quickly, I really enjoyed Bongani Nkulunga. He's the Zuma spokesman in the presidency, but he's written a really concise and interesting biography of Pixley Kaisakaseme, the man who founded the ANC. And it's, you know, I mean, he's a member of the AMC himself. He's the president's spokesperson, but it is a dispassionate book when it needs to be. And the notion that the ANC is divided now in a way that's never been divided before is completely put to bed in this book. The ANC, from its beginnings, was a divided and factional organization. And the bringing to life of the character of the founder is beautifully done in this book. The man who founded the ANC, written by Bongani Nkulunga. And then, do I have time? Yes, very, very quickly. It's a very interesting book by a guy called Steve Kastner. He's a research scientist with NASA's Human Systems Integration Division that maintains the very strict safety standards that need to be maintained for astronauts and others involved in the aerospace field. And he's written a book called Careful: The Surprising Science Behind Everyday Calamities and How Can You Avoid Them. He gives a very concise review of the things that can kill us, the things that can harm us, how we contribute to the problem. You know, how we will be very, very careful about not eating food which has been subjected to a poison at any stage of its journey from Earth to, so we'll just buy organic. And then we'll text while we drive. Why is it that we're careful about some things and not careful about another thing? So he identifies the risks that make us vulnerable and injury prone and gives us some suggestions about how to not be an accident waiting to happen. Paying attention, gauging risks, planning ahead, looking out for each other. But he does it in a gently humorous and compassionate way. We sometimes miss the point that we're all in this together, and we really are one another's greatest resource. And if we all kept that in mind rather more often than we do at the moment, then we wouldn't need to be so careful. Careful is the title of Steve Kastner's book.